Now, lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 in all authority. So go to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 19. If I sound ticked off, because I am ticked off. Oh my gosh. You know what I just discovered? And a side note, while you're getting Jeremiah 19, you listen up. You know, all these people say you're saved by the Romans Road. I'll tell you what. Ugh, it's so aggravating to me. They always use, of course, always wind up in Romans chapter 10. That is not the gospel for today. Romans chapter 3 is. And I'll tell you, by them always winding up there, it's truly the Romans road, but it's the Roman Catholic road. Okay? Satan, the great counterfeiter, takes a gospel message that was for Israel during their diminishing time, that has nothing to do with the blood of Christ, that has to do with his lordship and his resurrection. That's why the first verse in Romans 10 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." The gospel today is in Romans 3, 24 through 26, faith in his blood and belief in Jesus. Every single stinking lying heretic sight has out there Romans 10, when it's called the Romans Road. I'm so tired of that, the Romans Road. The only Romans Road out there today is the road of Roman Catholicism that leads to hell. And what a perfect counterfeit Satan does, huh? He takes something out of the book of Romans, skips right over. That's a whole, I don't want to start preaching about that. It's on the Oracle, of Labor Day's Oracle. All right. Jeremiah chapter 19, as we continue on in our study now on the Bible itself, the doctrines of inspiration, preservation, and translation, we're coming to a wonderful spot as we have not many verses left in the Old Testament, but as you can see this time as we're gathering verses regarding the Word of God, it has to do with Israel's complete rejection of God's words and the consequences for it. And wait till we get into the New Testament, which, Lord willing, should be pretty soon, maybe the next lesson. If not the next lesson, it'll be the lesson after that for sure. You're going to see when you hit the New Testament, God's not there to teach you anymore about this book as if it's his book. He's just simply going to expect you to know it. Jeremiah chapter 19. Let's start now and continuing on, gathering every verse regarding the Word of God. Jeremiah 19, verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee." Notice, God tells Jeremiah to proclaim the words that I shall tell thee. You don't have to go and make up things to say. That's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Okay? So tired of preachers out there making up things that aren't even in the scriptures. Heretics. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, look at verse 7. Jeremiah 27. "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." Well, Jeremiah having some trouble here, huh, by preaching what God said. Then in verse 9, watch this. "Then I said, I," that's Jeremiah, "will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Hey, is that great? I'll tell you. You keep reading this Bible, it's got to get out of you. Now, Jeremiah, that word was like a fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, look at verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Speak there this word." The prophets were sent to speak what God said. Okay? Verse 29 of the same chapter. "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Boy, I'll tell you, that is such great truth for today. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Throw your commentaries out, burn them. Okay? Hear this book. Just sit and read the Bible. You know, there's a brother that, he's read the Bible over 50 times following the established commandment, Brother Paul Crum. And then there's other men, like Ron and Alex. You know, these people who read the scriptures through and are diligently doing it, reading it, I never have problems with them. You know, we never disagree because it's the same Lord teaching us because they're reading the Bible. All right? I'm just amazed that people don't even read the book. Jeremiah chapter 23, look at verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors, notice, that feed my people. Oh, they were getting fed all right. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I, that's the Lord, will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Notice, the pastures were feeding the flock in verse 2. God says in verse 4, I will set up shepherds over them. Bible definition of a pastor is a shepherd, which shall feed them. Wait a minute, I thought they were getting fed. They're getting fed in verse 2. God says, I'm going to feed them in verse 4. You see, the problem with that is this. Go back to chapter 3 of Jeremiah. Chapter 3 of Jeremiah in verse 15, God says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. According to God's heart, not their own hearts. Those pastors were preaching according to their own brains. But notice, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. A real pastor, a real shepherd, a real Bible teacher feeds you with knowledge and understanding of the word of God, not the word of their brain. Okay, same chapter, Jeremiah 23, look at verse 9. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 9. Fabulous passage. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome. The definition of a drunk, is when wine overcomes you because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. God's words are holy. That's why it's called a holy Bible. Okay? Same chapter, look at verse 18. Same chapter, verse 18. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? You see that? The issue is who's going to sit there and speak what God said. You perceived and heard it? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Who have you? Who are you? Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, God's telling you here, if you had stood in my book and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Notice what these goofy pastors were doing, and these prophets. They're not telling the people the words of God. You see, and when you read out of counterfeit Bibles today, you Mr. So-called pastor, you're not telling the people the words of God either. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. You know how you speak God's word faithfully? You know how you do that? You don't change it. You don't sit there and say, well, that verse isn't translated right. You don't say stupid, moronic, idiotic, dolt, unbelieving comments like, well, I just used the Greek to clarify the King James, you heretic. Let me tell you something. That book is right. You speak his word faithfully. Faithfully. The end of verse 28. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It is. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Listen, you... Oh, I mean, the verse says it all, does it not? Okay? No wonder Israel got clobbered. Golly. Verse 36 in the same chapter. Oh my gosh. I'm still fired up about the Romans Road. I'm fired up about everything today. Verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Don't you pervert God's book. The issue is what this book says. You don't change it. You don't alter it. You don't water it down. You got it? Jeremiah chapter 25. Look at verse 8. Jeremiah 25, 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Look at the results of the rejection of God's book. Look at verse 13. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. You can go back and also read Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28 and see the five cycles of judgment that God would put Israel through for the rejection of his book. And Jeremiah tells them about it. Verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Let me tell you what, the rejection of God's book is why the reason. The rejection of what God says is the reason why everything is so screwed up. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Let me tell you what. God does not look favorably upon anybody who diminishes one word of his book. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Boy, that went over like a porcupine in a balloon factory, huh? Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. Boy, they had a chance to get out of it, didn't they? As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain, that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Look at the results for speaking all the words that God would have spoken here in Jeremiah's life. So they were going to kill him. He didn't care. And what a faithful guy. Young kid, too. Jeremiah 29, look at verse 19. Jeremiah 29, verse 19. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Let me tell you something. You notice how you're getting a pattern here? They have not hearkened unto the words of God. That's causing huge problems here. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. You know, they got these heretics out there in these seminaries, the theologians. I like to refer to them as cemeteries. Not seminaries, but cemeteries. Because they're full with dead people, dead in sins and transgressions. Okay? They're spiritually dead. And they sit there and tell you that, well, God's book, how did the Bible come to us? Like, how did we get the Bible? Right there. Look how simple this is. Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. God promised to preserve them. That's real hard, isn't it? Real hard to get, isn't it? Jeremiah 36. Now watch this chapter. This is a phenomenal chapter on how we got the Bible and the words, how the importance of them, and what happens then when someone just burn them up and not pay attention. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel. Notice the issue with God is you better write all the words that I've spoken. Diminish not a word. Come on now. And against Judah and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. You see that? Just like Tertius, who wrote the book of Romans from Paul's mouth. Same thing. Okay, no big deal. Verse 5, and Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. He was in prison. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the scribe of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hanani, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard, when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, now watch this, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. And that's good. You should be. They were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. Now watch this, watch this. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Now watch how simple this is. How'd we get our Bible? Then Baruch answered them, watch how big your big theological seminary degree you need to know to get this. Watch how complicated it is. Verse 18, then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Really? No kidding. Look how simple our Bible came to us. All these goofy guys with their degrees. Look, if a guy's got a degree, the chances are he's a complete moron. Okay? Verse 19. Then said the princes unto Barak, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, let no man know where you be, because they just pronounced all these bad words. Now watch what happens when they take the Bible to the king. And they went into the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisha, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So they told him. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elisha, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Now, what did God say? Oh my gosh, that's an original manuscript, man. What are we going to do now? My Bible's all burnt up. No. God don't care about originals. Right there, the original was burnt up. Verse 24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delilah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah the son of Hamelech, and Sariah the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah the son of Abdeel, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. Watch it. But the Lord hid them. But the Lord hid them. Guarantee you they're not going to find them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll. Look at this. Look at verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, notice the issue with God. He makes a distinction here. This goofy king burns the roll and the words. You see that? The only thing valuable about that roll was the words on it. Okay? So he makes a distinction between the roll and the words. But watch what happens in verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. You see, you can come up and burn my Bible. I'll just go get another one. That's how God preserves his book, is making copies. Make another one. Another one. Verse 29. Thank God for the printing press, eh? Verse 29. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Barak the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim king of Judah had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. It's phenomenal. Chapter 44, so don't worry about it. God's going to preserve his word. He's going to make copies. Jeremiah 44, look at verse 26. Jeremiah 44, 26. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. You know what amazes me about this great book, besides the trillion, quinzillion, chameleon, momillion things, is whose words are going to stand? God's or yours? Let me tell you what, you pot of clay, you flesh, you're going to die one day, but that book's going to stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, the Lord Jesus Christ said. So whose words you think are going to stand? Oh, that's so wonderful. Jeremiah 45:1. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying. Phenomenal, huh? How'd we get our Bible? Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. Let's go there. Look at verse 60. Jeremiah 51. Let's look at verse 60. 51:60. All right, let me find it here. Jeremiah 51:60. Watch this now. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, the issue with God is all his words, folks. Then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. All right. Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel now and see some more great things. You know, the book of Lamentations that I just skipped over is such a horrible book. You should read it someday and sit down and read it 10 times. It literally happened to real people, the nation of Israel, in time past. And it happened to them because of the rejection of God's book. The rejection of what God told them, his words. You read there how the pitiful mother, those women boiled their children and ate them. Do you know what I'm saying? The hands of the pitiful women have soddened their own children. You know what soddened means? Boiled. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord hath accomplished his fury. These women boiled their children and they ate them. Just like Leviticus and Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 said they would do in these cycles of judgment. All because. So those children who were boiled and eaten by their own mothers was all because they rejected God's book. This stuff is deadly serious. Ezekiel chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Now remember, this is after Nebuchadnezzar cleaned their clock years later. I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Boy, look at Ezekiel, how he was living. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I had looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Wow. Speak my words unto them, and whether they hear or whether they forbear. I mean, you know what? Ezekiel knew from the get-go, they're not even going to probably listen. Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. You know the problem with most preachers and teachers today? They don't speak what God said. They speak out of the imagination of their own wicked, evil hearts. Look at verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, whether they listen to you or not. I'll tell you, so many times I feel like that. I go out there and speak. I don't even know if anybody's listening or not. You know, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Great advice, folks. Great advice for you so-called preachers. How in the world, when it comes to just salvation, I got to ask you preachers something. How in the world, when you know that there's a doctrine called hell, the great white throne judgment, and the lake of fire, that you don't even tell lost people about that. What the heck do you think they're getting saved from there, morons? Verse 17. You know what, if you don't like how I talk to you, the Apostle Paul says, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. You know, let me tell you something. That's the only time the word rude appears in the Bible. And that was my apostle who God commands me to follow. And I can't help it. It's not like I come out and say, I'm going to be rude today. Guess what? When the doctrine gets in you and I meet people that are complete heretics, pastors and teachers who will not speak truth, okay, I'm in no mood. You may think I'm rude, but my Heavenly Father is very pleased with His book being proclaimed. Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. Like, I really care about the opinions of men. It was the opinions of men that bought me an eternity in hell. Thanks, Roman Catholicism, for nothing, you wicked, evil institution. Ezekiel 12. You mystery Babylon the Great, the mother, you mother. That's exactly what you are, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. God's word, He's going to speak, and it shall come to pass. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 7. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Look at verse 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. The Bible is called the statutes of life there. Look at verse 30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people. Watch this. What? You know, I can't even read this. You just don't know what reading this does to me. Ezekiel's out there preaching. God is going to tell Ezekiel what's really going on with the listeners. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying. Now, this is what the people were saying about Ezekiel's preaching. Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Let's go to church, and let's hear the Bible. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Oh my God. You see that? All this love today. And they don't care what the Bible says. Verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Oh my gosh. What can be said about that? Daniel chapter 4. The book of Daniel. Chapter 4. I'll tell you what, you folks out there rejecting this book, you're a morons. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now, for all you morons out there who missed the book of Esther, let me tell you, you think, well, God can't get a Bible to us in English. Here's Nebuchadnezzar writing unto all people, several nations, plural, and languages, plural. He writes this letter, translates it unto them, okay? You get it? So here you can get a person can do it. Look at verse 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I mean, watch this. I just cannot believe this. I mean, people aren't listening. Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Wake up, and he got it. He woke up, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. This is the God whose book you all are messing with, okay? And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You remember that the next time you change the King James Bible. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. Nebuchadnezzar knew that, and this Bible is the work of God, so it's still got to be a work of truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Ooh. Daniel chapter 5, look at verse 21. And he was driven from the sons of men, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. I'm telling you what, you folks out there attacking God Almighty's books, you pots of clay, you don't even know that God Almighty rules. Do you understand this? You ought to be thankful. You live in the dispensation of his grace. I'll tell you. Now, the same thing in chapter Daniel 5. Look at here right now. In Daniel 5, look at verse 25. Okay? Daniel 5, look at verse 25. Watch closely. And this is the writing that was written. You getting this? Meanie, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. You know how many times I tell people a verse and they say, well, that's how you interpret it. No. Interpret means to put into your language. So this is what interpret means. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meanie, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. So what does meanie mean? That. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. That's what tekel means. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So listen, when you see stuff like italics and what does this mean and how do you interpret things, right there, when God has to interpret something for you, he does. So the Bible's in English. It doesn't need to be interpreted. It has been interpreted. Okay? Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 1. Daniel 6, 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Watch it. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now you see that? They can send out some things and write some things and translate into all these languages, and guess what? The law of the Medes and Persians doesn't alter. Those are men's laws. Now, if you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. What makes you think this Bible is going to be altered and changed by man into something else? And see, people just, they just don't understand. Look at verse 25 in the same chapter. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now listen, if Darius can translate his words, and when they get there, it's what the king said, in copy form, no problem. We've already discussed that. God can do it. Remember the book of Esther? Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel's out there reading the book of Jeremiah. Okay? It's a copy. It ain't the original. He's reading it. It's preserved. It's there for him. Look at verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So he's got the book of Moses out there. One of those books is either Leviticus 26 or Deuteronomy 28. You see that? Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. I'm telling you, God writes his word and preserves it. Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 21. Now, let me tell you something here. Angels speak. Gabriel is going to speak here, and they only speak what God tells them to speak. And watch what Gabriel says. But I will show thee, he's talking to Daniel, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Gabriel calls the scripture of truth. So if you have scripture, so-called, okay, and it's full of lies, what does that tell you? It's not God's book. It's that simple, people. Daniel chapter 11, verse 1. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. See that? That's what Gabriel says. Remember, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. God turns king's heart. There you see the mechanics of how it was taking place through Gabriel. Okay, the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 4. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Can you believe that? Oh my gosh. God has a controversy with people. There is a huge controversy even today because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Unbelievable. Look at verse 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Look what happens for the results of not the book of God in the land. No truth at all. Look at what you turn into, a bunch of animals. All right? Compare that with Ecclesiastes. No, I'm sorry. Not that verse. I want to still read verse 6. Look at verse 6. Hosea verse 6. 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know why you're destroyed out there? You know why your life as a believer doesn't even work? You're just playing church? Because you don't know the Bible the way you should know it. You don't understand the establishment commandment. You don't even follow it in your reading. That's why you're not established. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, God says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. How about that? That's the law there. Punish unto the third and to the fourth generation, he tells Moses. You want to forget my book? I'll forget your children. You people out there who worship your children, there's something wrong with you. Hosea chapter 6, get that with Ecclesiastes 12. Go back, get Hosea 6 and get Ecclesiastes 12, okay? Hosea 6, look at verse 5. Hosea 6, 5. Therefore, have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth. and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. You remember that. Compare that. Ecclesiastes 12. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Amen to that. I can testify that that's what I do. The words, verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads. They stick you. If you're being stuck by any of these messages, especially salvation, that's good. And as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. You know, all these preachers today in these goofy church buildings, they go into, that's why there's no conviction. They aren't wise. That's why their words don't stick people. They're not the words of the wise or as goads. They're morons. Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, look at verse 12. Hosea 8, 12. I have written to him the great things of my law, God says, but they were counted as a strange thing. Isn't that sad? Isn't that horribly sad? Joel. Chapter 2, the book of Joel, chapter 2. We're almost finished up the Old Testament here. Joel 2, 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. The day is coming where these words are going to be executed, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Let's see then when he comes back in flaming fire, who says, well, the Bible isn't true. You're going to see it. It won't be faith that day. You won't have to have faith because you'll see it. Joel 3, look at verse 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. You know, as I pass Amos, I think, great Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Micah chapter 4, look at verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Kick around that book now. There's a day coming where he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to force you to listen. You don't listen then, you'll be cast into hellfire. Hellfire, not the lake of fire. You don't understand why? We'll get to that one day. Because hell, there's a shaft open up there, and you'll be able to be cast right into it. Lake of fire isn't here yet. Verse 11, same chapter. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. You don't know the thoughts of the Lord when you don't know his book. Do you got it? Go to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. You know, once I was preaching with a bunch of Mennonites, and I said, hey, turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, get your Bibles and open up to the Old Testament book of Hezekiah. Every one of them bent down, and these were so-called pastors and teachers. They bent down and were looking for the book of Hezekiah. There is no book of Hezekiah there, you morons. There is none. Hezekiah was a king, but he didn't have a book in the Bible. Blah. They kept looking, man. Some kept looking even after I told them. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Don't give me no big reference Bible with all these center columns that the Bible looks like the space shuttle program. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. I will not tarry. Oh, well, at least I'm enjoying. And one last Old Testament verse, Zechariah chapter 7. Not Zephaniah, I said Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Now listen. Okay, that ends us here with lesson 10. And we're done in all authority with the Old Testament. Now we're going to get to the New Testament. And I'm here to tell you it works like this. When you get to the New Testament and you start to see, now I understand that when we get into Matthew, we're still in Old Testament ground technically in the beginning, because a testament is a force after men are dead, and it's no of no force while the testator liveth. So there has to be the death of the testator. Well, anyways, it's still Christ's death is there at the end of the book. So for argument's sake, we'll call it the New Testament. Anyways, when you get there, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to talk to you and show you things about his book that have, in other words, he just assumes you believe everything we've read in the Old Testament. And if you don't, you're a fool. And he's going to constantly rebuke people and say, have you not read? Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? It's a given that God spoke these things. And God's wrote a book, he inspired it, he preserved it, and he can translate it, because men can translate it. So you just be with me for lesson 11. We'll get it up as soon as I can.